Good evening, everybody. Can you welcome somebody to church beside you? Quickly do that. Let the person be without doubt that you're happy to see him or her. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Excited to see everybody, like really excited. Fellowship is a beautiful thing to share fellowship together. Let's go to our Luke 8. It's a beautiful thing to share fellowship together, to come together and interact with one another and with the Father also. And that's just amazing. And every day, Satan's plan, amen. Every day, Satan's plan is to weaken the fellowship. Satan's greatest agenda is not to make us, Satan's attack over a church is not necessarily to make sure the church don't grow numerically. Amen. That's not as important as attacking fellowship. Amen. If our fellowship is attacked where we can't fellowship as a people, there's a whole lot of attack every day, you know, in that regards, not wanting us to have fellowship. If you check the epistles, you would notice that, first of all, it was fellowship that made the writings compulsory. It was because there was a people in fellowship one with another and with the Lord that made the epistles necessary to be written. Are you together with me? And if you'd notice also that the one of the major themes of the epistle is brotherly love, is unity and peace. Amen. Because we can't break that. We must not break fellowship. We can't fellowship with God accurately if we don't fellowship with one another accurately. Amen. So every day the enemy tries to break that. And if he breaks that, what we might have is a miracle center or a prayer mountain. And that's not fellowship. A church is not a place where people cry out to God. Did you hear? It's not a place where you can cry out to God. That's not the primary place of the church. The primary function of church is what? It's fellowship. And you know, fellowship is costly. So we do not only come to church to meet God. We come to meet one another. Huh? You know, some of us try to be very spiritual, that I'm here for the Lord. You know, we're here to meet one another. We're here to see ourselves. We're here to... And I told you that there is communion going on by just... There are interactions happening. There are impartations happening by just attending service. There are rub-offs happening. That's why you see yourselves... That's why we see ourselves in our dreams. Huh? Are you together with me? At times, God wants to talk to you. He appears in the form of a brother. And then you know it was the Lord that appeared to you. And then you tell the brother be feeling like, you know, he's bringing some mighty instruction to you. You know? That just tells us how important fellowship is. Amen. And then the enemy has really attacked fellowship. And he has given us various definitions for church that are not accurate definitions. And then... We can gather the numbers, but if the numbers are in fellowshipping, they are not his army. Huh? You get that? If there's no fellowship, there is no army. Until there is fellowship, before we can say that there is army, there is an army. a church grappling with settling disagreements, are you together with me? Is more powerful than a church without disagreements. In the sense that if the ones without disagreement is because they don't have disagreement because they don't have interaction. Did you get that? Where everybody just come and goes. You know, that can never be family. Huh? It's not family. Amen. Amen. So the strength of the church would not be numbers. It will not be numbers. If you check John 17, one of the most emotional chapters in the whole of the Bible, if not the most emotional for me, John 17, where Jesus was saying some profound things with depth of emotion. He told us that a major sign, a major prayer he was praying to God for, because he was talking about him leaving. The major prayer he was praying is that God should make them one. You remember that? That was his major prayer. He says, make them one, let them be one like us. It's a major prayer that Jesus prayed. And you hear Paul consistently talking about being of one mind and all of that. So fellowship is very important, and I thank God for bringing us together again, and it will help us to fellowship better than we have ever done before, in the name of Jesus. So some weeks back, Pastor Obi, you know, is this strike or struck now? Pastor Obi did struck a very, did strike? Pastor Obi did strike a very, very beautiful chord that has been ringing in my spirit since he did. That was, I think, two Sundays ago, where he was looking at the king. Pastor, what was the title of that message you preached? No title. Yeah? They said they have. But did you give it a title? Why did you give it a title? I thought he said he's following you. Amen. Pastor Obi did strike a very beautiful chord, and he was speaking. He was looking into a very important matter on two Sundays ago, and God was using him to help us to find access into the kingdom. He was talking about access into the kingdom. You know, the spirit is released. The spirit life functions by you releasing it. The release of the spirit. The spirit life is released. What do I mean by that? Spirit life can be forced. Huh? Can be forced. Let me say this. For example, in the miraculous, a miracle almost all the time, when a miracle happens, it is simpler than the process that brought the miracle. You see, whenever a miracle happens, you feel like praying more. Because it happens so simply that you are one, like if God go heal someone or go do something, get somebody. Maybe you have been asking God for a job or something. When the thing happens, it is usually simpler than the force we put into it. Have you noticed that? Now, most of the times, I have to correct myself on this. Most of the times, our thanksgiving is always lesser than when we are praying. Have you noticed that? When you wanted a job, you're like, if you get that job, you know that God is good. Like, every day you are praying about it. And then, when the job came, you know, it was not like an angel came and gave you a letter. And then told you I would appear to that CEO. And that CEO would know that I'm the one that wants you to work there. And the CEO will call you. It doesn't happen that way. You'll be going on the road. You wanted to pass this street. You mistakenly passed another street. You thought you missed your way. An uncle or a brother was coming. I said, what are you doing? I said, okay, send me your CV. Send me your CV. And then somehow, you went for an interview and you got a job. You got a text, you got a job. It always looks very simple. That you would even think the prayers are not worth it. That it was not that. And somebody asks you, what do you do now? I said, and God, just, I'm working now at one place. Now, when you didn't have the job, when they asked you, you said, well, I'm trusting God. I want you to join my faith with your faith. You know, lately my wife has been wanting something and we got it done. And then I was asking her, so how is it? How is it going? And I just thank God. So I replied, I said, how is it? He said, well, it's done. We just thank God. I said, no, you cannot just. I said, before we got this thing, the trouble I went through, I cannot succeed now and you not give you the glory. Tell me, it went. You are enjoying it. Don't just. So usually, there is that. Because of how simple God does the stuff. Amen. And that is a pointer to the fact that the Spirit cannot be forced. You cannot force the move of the Spirit. Do you know you can, let's look at ministering. Either preaching or singing or whatever. Do you know you cannot force down a powerful atmosphere? Do you know that? You can never. You cannot wish the service to be glorious and manage it to be glorious. You cannot say, all right, this morning, let's look at the glory. Listen. You feel internal depression. You just see yourself forcing it in. You know what happen. Or you want to lead worship and then you want it to be powerful. The power of God is here right now. It's not there. Look, it can't force you. You yourself must wait on it. Everybody must wait. You know, I was speaking to a Mistral and she was telling me about, she moved to a new location and she ministers in that new place, a new assembly. And then she was like, the first time she led worship, she was telling me that it was okay, but it was not powerful enough. So I asked her, how did you know? Like, really, how do we know? With what instrument? Like, I would like to have that instrument. Which instrument do we use to know the grade of power? You know, which instrument do we use to know which service is more powerful than the other? Really, which instrument do we use to know that? It's just our imagination, assumption. Amen. Amen. So, even in your life, you can't force it. There are lifestyles that can help you release it. It has to it to be released from within you. Huh? The kingdom of God is where? It's within us. And we must learn to what? To release it. Hallelujah. And so there are lifestyles and attitudes, or let me put the way of the Spirit, amen, that causes it to be released the better. There are ways and pathways of the Spirit that causes the kingdom or the Spirit to be released. Now, we can have a manifestation of the gift. Are you together with me? A manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit is not in the context of what I'm teaching now. It's not the same in context as the release of the Spirit. Because in this context, I'm talking about the Spirit as the nature of the Father. Amen. And I'm also talking about the Spirit in context as per the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? The nature of the Father and what? And the kingdom of God. I am not bringing it only to the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. The truth is, the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit is part of the kingdom of the Father. Amen. It's part of the Spirit. But we can have the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and not have the will of God being executed. Are we on the same page? Did you understand me to that point? We can have the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit and yet we don't have the will of the Father executed. Jesus Christ said, in that day, men will come and say, Lord, Lord, we casted out demons in your name. Can you give me that? We casted out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And what will he say to them? I do not know you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. Praise God. Of course, you cannot go and get powers from herbalists and see Jesus and still confront him that we cast out demons in your name. Do you understand that? You know where you got your jazz from. T.B. Joshua will not see Jesus now and say that. He wouldn't do that. Are you together with me? So he knows where God is power from. And are we on the same page? So, we see that even though, alright, it is where it started from. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now let's wait there. We will compare spiritual with spiritual. Am I correct? Now, what makes one qualified to make heaven when the trumpet blows?
When the trumpet blows, what qualifies you?
You're born again. You have Christ.
So, to make heaven, so to speak, so to speak. Why do I say so to speak? Because heaven is not a target. Are you together with me? Heaven is not a what? A target. Of course, many people say heaven is a target, but the truth is heaven is not a target. When the rapture happens, we will go to heaven, but that's not our reward. Amen. The purpose of Christianity is not to make heaven. If it's to make heaven, God is a bad businessman. Because with the level of temptations on earth, he should get them born again and kill them. Don't you think so? Get you born again, kill you. So that you will not... so that they can be safe. Amen. So heaven is definitely not the target. Amen. The Christian hope, amen, according to the scripture, is the glory of God. Amen. For those he knew, he predestinated. Can you give me that place in Romans? Amen. The hope of a Christian is what? Is the glory of God. We also see in John chapter 17. First, give me Romans. In John chapter 17, we see that Jesus, while he was praying for us, his prayer was for us to come into. Are you together with me? Huh? His prayer for us to what? To come into what? The same glory. His intention was to give us the same glory that he has with the Father. Bring us oneness with the Trinity. Are you together with me? So, the hope of the Christian man is the hope of godliness. Eh? Is the hope of being like God. Eh? And the fullness of it. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he called. Whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this is what he also glorified. All right, give me old KJV and give me the next chapter, the next verse. Verse 30. Oh, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. All right. No, this is not the scripture I'm looking for. Let me look for that scripture. This is the scripture I'm looking for. Praise the name of the Lord. But let's keep our gist on. So there is a difference between flowing in the gifts of the Spirit and the nature of the Father, which is the Spirit. Are you together with me? Huh? Praise God. So I was saying that the glory of God, coming into the fullness of God's glory, you know, in the book of, is it 1 Corinthians now, chapter 3, the Bible was speaking about how in the New Testament we have the possibility of beholding the glory of the Father. And why is that so? What's the reason for that? The reason for that is so that we can change. Amen. Amen. All right, Romans 8, 16. So that he can change. Amen. We can be changed to that same what? Image. From what? From glory to. Are we on the same page? So we see that the glory of God is the maker of the image. Are you together with me? Is the energy that forms the image. Are we on the same page? The glory of God is the energy of God that forms the image of God in us. So as we behold his glory. Now, when we talk matters that have to do with God's glory are a bit serious, so to speak. And I'm serious about what I just said. The matters that have to do with God's glory are different from other matters. You see, when it has to do with God's glory, it has to do with his face, with his person. If it's going to be God's glory, then it cannot be shared. But he wants to give us his glory, but not share with us. Are you together with me? There are two different things. He wants to give us his glory, but not share with us. So when we have to do with matters that have to do with God's glory, would also mean that we must introduce matters that have to do with death. The death of self is a prerequisite. Are we on the same page? Now. The glory of God is not all we can get from God. I'm telling you, there are many powerful things you can get from God. I'm telling you, many beautiful things. That is not glory. Now, the ministration of the old covenant, which is still existing. Because there's an assumption that it's no more existing. Amen. The glory of the old covenant, which is still existing, is very much glorious. It's very glorious. But when you compare it to the glory of the New Testament, that is why it is. That's why when we talk issues of glory, we must look at miracles and step above miracles. You see, because if we're going to judge glory by miracles, I don't know the kind of miracles we will do. Because the former glory, the miracles that was done in the former glory are serious miracles. I'm telling you the truth, though. We cannot use miracles to judge glory. Because we're talking of glories that can shift the sun and shift the moon. We're talking of glories that can part the sea. Amen. That's why the Jewish man found it difficult to believe Jesus. When the Gentile man reads the story of Jesus, he's amazed. When the Jewish man did not read, he saw what Jesus did. And he said, show me a sign. Did you see that? The Jewish man saw him. They asked him, show me a sign. Because if you are going to be the Christ, you have not done what Moses can. What have you done? You eat one, you eat two, you eat this. What did you do? What have you done? Show us a sign. Ah! You know, if we were the one that saw, if Jesus came to the Gentile nation, we would have believed it very quickly. What is strange thing about the Gentile nation is that Gentile nations do not ask for sign. It's wisdom. All this parable, go deep, explain it. What's this parable? Sure, all saw him. So I went to so say, when then? Tell us what happened. You know, souls are different. The Gentile man is not moved by signs. He's moved by wisdom. The Jewish man is moved by signs. So Jesus Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. Amen. Can we say the release of the Spirit? So, patience is a prerequisite. If you want to release the Spirit, you must have patience. By the way, I'm going back to my glory issue and kingdom. And you must be very patient. You cannot. Actions must not determine your reaction. Like, you don't react because of an external action. You react internally. Do you understand that? You see, as a preacher, just to explain what I'm trying to say, I can be going in a direction, and the Holy Ghost can tell me, don't go that direction. But I find that direction interesting. And if I keep going that direction, things will be happening. That I disobeyed does not mean things will stop flowing. You should understand that. It doesn't mean. That's why when we talk of issues of glory, you cannot judge with physical signs. It is more than that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Christian hope is not heaven. Romans 8. Give me Romans 8. Romans 8, 16-17. Let's just read that part so we can move forward. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we also may be what? That we may be what? Glorified with him. So, Christ is not only, are you together with me? Christ is not only a pattern, is not only the is not only a pattern of resurrection. What I mean is, not just that we resurrected as he resurrected. That is it. He provided for us resurrection. But it's also a pattern for lifestyle. Eh? So that we have not just gained from his work. You know, we gained eternal life because of what he did. But not just that. We are, as we gain eternal life, we are now called to live the way he lived. Do you understand that? So it gave us eternal life, and it also gave us a pattern for life. And then this is strange. You know why it is strange? Because his own pattern, the pattern we are going to live, must be the pattern that produced eternal life. Are you together with me? So the order of life we are going to live is the order of eternal life. Now, when it finished walking, it came to eternal life. But while he was walking, the interpretation of his walk was called suffering. The manifestation of his work was called eternal life. The produce of his work is life. But the expression, the revelation of his work on earth is called what? Suffering. I don't know if you hear what I'm talking about. So in the end, eternal life. But the process is called what? Suffering. Now, It's easy to assume that if the end is eternal life, the process will be some. So eternal life can be easily despised. That's what I'm telling you. That the way eternal life is packaged to be despised. Are you together with me? That's why the revelation of eternal life, without a commensurate revelation of the way of life. A revelation of eternal life without a commensurate revelation of the way of life will always be disastrous. When you put the bigness of eternal life upon flesh, it will be messed up. Listen, this love is too much. That if we give you this love and not give you the way of this love, you'll miss it. I'm telling you. This love is too much. It's too much. The love of Jesus is too much. It's beyond. We cannot fathom it. I'm telling you, this man's love is too much. God has planned for the madman on the street. If you lay your hands on the madman on the street, you will receive prophetic words for you. And it's not prophecy just by gift of spirit. It is prophecy from the heart of Jehovah's heart is burning over every madman you are seeing within the street. The plan is not just for those that are in church. You know what I'm saying? The love is mad. You cannot defeat that love. You don't get it. It will open chapters of possibilities. If you break one law enter another frame of life. You don't understand. If God says go this way and you don't go that way and you go another way, if you go another way and you go the way of destruction, that there is a love package in that destruction. There is a destiny. Anyone you choose, you meet his love. Anything you choose, you meet his love. There is no end of his love. You can't finish it though. Telling you, this man's love is something else. We can't finish it too. It's only you that can say God is done with anybody. You are saying your own. Not done. God done. Done. God done. His love is strange. God. You know, God has plans for some children that are coming in the next 500 years. That some children coming in the next 1,000 years. He's already thinking about them so specially and connecting dots, managing relationships, telling people to prophesy about things that will happen in another place, creating pipes for them to come. I'm telling you, see. It's not only you, he's taking serious. So 1,000 years ago, he took them serious. Focuses on each generation as if that's the only generation, as if that's the last generation. The love is intense. Very intense love. You could just shop your own. Continue to the shop and for everyone again. They shop the love. You know, while we're in the flesh, but when you imagine heaven, you say in heaven, you take off fried rice will come. That, and I just take off chicken, chicken will just come, fear. Then when we now got to be spiritual, we're not lying to ourselves. That we worship God 24 hours. I just worship him, Jesus. 24 hours, non-stop worship. Is it for heaven? They attach. You go just sit down for one place. They take your life. Say, how I won't take know this God. I'm telling you, every real, it's normal like this. You go just sit down. You know, an unending meal. You see, the strange thing is that it's not just that the meal is unending. The man has messed us up. Let me tell you this mystery. It's not just, it's a mystery. It's not that the meal, it's not just the meal that is unending. Even the container does not have an end. So you, God does not have ending. You, your capacity to contain him does not have ending. So Bible says, he hit eternity in the hearts of men. So more than the love on ourselves, they go. The man, you know if he finish. The people who won't receive hand, they know if he finish. They know they satisfy. That's how he made us. When he made us, he made the heart eternal. So that the romance is unending. We are doomed. So when you know they think, will I still be in Christ in the next, when I'm 60 years old, will I be in Christ? Don't they waste your time. Don't waste your time. Say, will I still love Jesus when I'm 80 years old? Don't waste your time. He passed that one. The person where you want to shop, the food don't they finish. You, your stomach. You know the belly food. They will call Logula for the same place. Where they go call Logula safe? That place safe, no, they die. You understand what I'm talking about? The heavens and the earth shall pass away. They will come roll out another creation wherein dwells righteousness. Are you together with me? We are going to come to, Bible says, in that city, he is the sun, he is the light of the city. So the city itself is not external. The place we'll be in is God. The person we'll be fellowshipping with is a strange thing. It's spiritual understanding. It's not for the mind. What we are here for on earth is training ground. We are there to train. How are we going to enjoy, you know, how to use your fork and knife? I'm telling you, we are here to learn how to chop God. I'm telling you, that's what we are here to learn. I feel the presence of God all around here. Oh boy. We need to get more people saved, man. We need to get people saved, man. This thing is serious, man. You know, as the revival is moving, this revival we're in, you go get to one point where we say to manage jam no go easy. I'm telling you, to manage this revival will not be easy. Pastors need to grow up now. To manage this revival will not be easy. It'll be like the first one in the book of Acts. They persecute the church, chase them left to right. So anywhere they go, revival will start. Somebody asked, a missionary asked a question. He's a northern person. He has the right to ask, not us. We can't ask that kind of question. He said that the people they chase from that they chased, the Christians they chased in the north, where the churches they have started. He said the first time they persecuted Christians, they did not go to IDP. Well, we can't say that too. If you say that, God will slap you. We are in the south. Let them yap themselves. It's also from that place. They persecute them. They get to a place. They break out. Let's just say one or two things then. We round off. You've given me romance. Have you given me romance? Did I finish? You didn't. So we'll look at two scriptures and we'll be on our way. Glory be to Jesus. We are in this forever. I'm telling you. You know, later there will not be time for anything. By the time he comes and we are in the resurrection, even marriage will pause. Do you understand that? Marriage cannot take place in that place. You get it? They wanted to trap Jesus. They don't know it's a different testament. They said Moses said that if a man marries and his wife does not have a child for him and he dies, his brother will marry him. If the brother does not have a child for him, his other brother marries her. The other brother dies. So seven brothers have married her in the resurrection. Whose husband is that? Or dead. It is everything like this place. Or dead. See, the resurrection. You see. Oh, when I talk about this, I'm soon I go carry a good day. What is it like that prayer point? Who will they give you? Like, you go carry the father, or dead. No marriage. No marriage. Hallelujah. Give me Romans 8. That we may also be glorified together. Alright, 18. Is there anything in 18? If I consider that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, give me 18. 19 rather. So let's give me 17, 18, 19, 20. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So, this heir issue, what is our inheritance? Huh? An heir, the issue of heir is about inheritance now. When you hear heir, you remember Ogun. So, what are they heirs of? If children, then the children is what? Is an heir of God. So, the Christian hope is who? Is God, not a place, a person, not heaven. So as we are loving ourselves right now, there is a, as we are behaving like brothers and sisters, there is a battle all of us should be pursuing right now. We are just this, you know how families to deceive themselves as if they love themselves when their father has land. All of us right now should be provoking one another. That holy provocation to capture God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, we shall the greater. How far is everything? By the time you check that, he has gathered small God like this. You go to your own and say, God, what happened now? When did you? You know, was it a prophet that said that? When did God pass me to talk to you? Amen. Huh? So that should be the hype. That should be what we hype in our midst. God. Not cars. Not jobs. Are you together with me? Those are not the things that we hype. Or beautiful building. You understand? Are you together with me? Those are not the things that trip us. Amen. So, we are heirs, and we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him. Somebody say if. That we also may. Somebody say may. Amen. See, you may not make heaven. You will make heaven. Yeah. You make heaven. See, you are eternally secure. You make heaven. You will be careful. I'm sure you will be careful. Oh, but the Bagbo said you will be careful. It's just that you might go with bad head. But that's not the point. That's not the point. Are you together with me? So what makes Christ different from all the other beautiful creatures of God is that Christ has laid hold on God. God, the owner of God is Jesus. Are you together with me? Jesus owns God. Are you with me? He owns God. He is the owner of God. Bible says we are joined as with Him. Because God already has, someone has already taken over God. His name is, if you want to go and have God, you will have Him with Jesus. Jesus is already. It's our firstborn. Are you together with me? Are you together with me? You know, in the Jewish culture, the firstborn is the first to share of the property. And you share it into, it takes a double portion. Are we on the same page? Now Jesus get up. You don't hear? And he reveals it. He reveals him rather. He says, I will declare your name in the midst of my brethren. The glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. God says that in previous time, I spoke to you about the prophet, but in the last days, he's speaking to us by his son. No. Not that he's speaking to us through his son. No. It's not that when God wants to talk, he will talk through his son. Then Jesus will not be talking about God. No. When Jesus is talking, he's talking God. Are we on the same page? So we are looking at Romans. I'll bring it down for us. I'll bring this teaching very simple. Give me 17, 18, 19 together. So we are heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time. So, the end is God, the pathway is suffering. Now, let me explain to you, suffering is not lack of money. Somebody say, God is good. Your basic common sense should let you know that if that good is spiritual, even the natural must speak of it. Let me tell you how to reason. Anytime you see good things and bad things, don't pray to God to tell you which one is your own. always naturally pick the good first. Are you together with me? Many Christians, even those that love God, I don't know where we got it. We attribute bad for God, that He wants to deal with us. It's a process. Especially the Christian ladies. For example, a Christian lady at times feels guilty if she's about to marry a wealthy Christian brother. There is unnecessary guilt we have given our sisters that, I'm not living in faith. No. Faith is not whether he's wealthy or not wealthy. Faith is the will of God. Are you together with me? So learn to always, when you see good shoe or fine, when one job is 500,000 with good package, another one is 150, don't pray. Are you with me? Pick the 150. While you are picking the 150, there is a restraint. Are you together with me? Let your senses learn to like good things. It's unhealthy theology. It's unhealthy. You can't have a good prayer life itself if you don't know the nature of Him you are praying to. Prayer is first understanding the nature of God. One of the nature of God is to give you good things. He has freely given us all things to what to enjoy. You must learn. The Bible says that if He did not spare His Son, how will he not also through His Son give us all things? You know, He's ready to give us good things. And think in that line. Let's assume there is no heaven, there is no spirit, but there is God, and everything ends in the earth. What will be your hope? Our hope will be the jets. Because it must be the best of the earth. But it's because the God we are dealing with is in a higher class beyond this earth. So our hope is not in those things. But whenever you see the choice of good and not good, choose good. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I said, are you with me? For we may be glorified together, for I consider so suffering is not lack. So don't be afraid, because these are the places the enemy comes to trap us with fear. Bible speaks about those that are in bondage of fear of death. When you hear suffering with Christ, you immediately think lack. Don't we know who a Christian is? When they first made the first man, they told him to have dominion over the earth. Do you understand that? So suffering will not be that you will be a useless person. Are you together with me? It has nothing to do with that. So when you think suffering, don't think lack. This man called Paul, if he was in our time, this will be like a son. Are you together with me? Amen. This man was a well-learned man. So don't think lack. Don't think lack of money. Amen. Don't think lack of money. It's not lack of money. It is lack of trust in money. You will lose your trust in money. It's not lack of it. Hallelujah. Check all those that worked with God in the Old Testament. You at least see a poor prophet. You hardly see one poor. Check the person's faith we are to have, Abraham's faith. Check almost all of them. You hardly see it. So it's not lack. It can never be sickness. You know, poverty is as a result of the fall. The first Adam was not trusting God for the next meal. Are we understanding? Are we same page? Poverty is a fall. So Jesus came and took us above death. Are we on the same page? So it means that it's not just sickness that was dealt with. Poverty was also dealt with. I don't know if you are with me. It is part of the covenant, the New Testament covenant, for us not to live in lack. I'm not saying it's part of the New Testament covenant for us to be millionaires or billionaires, but it will meet all our needs. Amen. It will meet all our needs. Amen. You will not be stranded. Amen. That's the will of God. So when we say suffering, we're not talking about the issues. We're not talking about the expressions of the fallen nature. Sickness is not suffering. Sickness is not the suffering of Christ, because he did not suffer sickness. Lack is not the suffering, because it's talking about his suffering. Huh? Amen. This Christ's suffering is not human suffering. We have been delivered from the suffering of this life. We have been delivered from poverty. Somebody say hallelujah to that. Amen. We have been delivered from sickness. So that's not suffering. You see, but whenever the message of the kingdom is being preached, the enemy comes to put fear of the suffering of this. He misinterprets it. He makes you not to understand it. Listen. If you play your game right, you operate excellence, you like to do things perfectly, you go and learn a trade or you go to school, you are calm, you are gentle. If you operate the fruit of the Spirit with a good vocation and education, you will not lack. Oh, surely. They want to do business. You are not a thief. They want to do business with you. So it's not possible. I've been telling them since I was in university, I said that for me to be poor, I would have to do a lot of fasting and praying. I would have to work at it. To be poor in this life, I would have to fast and pray, and then I might not even break through. I'm telling you. And one of my daughters told me, said, Pastor Zach, that's the man, he said, I'm watching it too. You see, there's me saying, Pastor Zach, I'm watching it too. Nothing again. But it's true. Hallelujah. You can't be poor. Not the fear that you don't feel poor. You don't fit. So, what's time? So it is his suffering, which is the pathway he walked. The suffering of Christ is the way Christ walked. Are we on the same page? I thought I saw a saying now. All right. It's the way Christ walked and landed in eternal life. So, we have obtained his life to walk his walk. Did you hear that? If we are in the Spirit, then we should what? Walk in the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ, who now do what? Who now walk? Not. After the flesh, but walk. After the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we have come in. The reason for coming in is to walk. The good news is that we can walk. I don't know if you are together with me. The good news is not just that we have come in. The good news is that we can walk his walk. He brought us in so that we can live the newness of life. He brought us in so that we can live it. So we are not walking so that we can come in. We are walking because we are what? We are in. But of course, the fullness of what he has done cannot be expressed in our lives. Unto what? Let me make a very loud statement now. That Christianity is about the kingdom of God. This is a very important statement you must know. This will help your Christian theology. Christianity is about what? The kingdom of God. That is what Christianity is about. When Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That, what does that mean? It is time. We have come to a season. He was saying the season has come for men to come into kingdom. That's what he was saying, that it's time to repent. Everybody come. He was like, everybody come, come. Stop that. Stop Moses. Stop this. Come, repent of all of that. Shut everything down. He was not talking about repentance of sin. He was talking more of guys. He was like, guys, come. This kingdom has come now. It's time for us to go in. So except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom. Oh, Yaba. But when a man is born of water and of spirit, then what happens to him? He enters the kingdom. Hallelujah. So the way to enter is that we must embrace his suffering. His suffering. His pattern of life. That is how we must learn Jesus' pattern. That's why it is dangerous to say that the life of Jesus on earth is not valid for the new time. It is awful. You don't say that. That is the exact example for living. You don't say that. You don't say that when he came, he didn't come, that one has ended. That is the episode. No. You don't say that. The way he lived on earth is what we must know. We must decode it. We must study the synoptic gospel of the Spirit of God and decode it. That thing you see is eternal life. That Matthew to John was how eternal life was obtained. Hey, Gaba. Matthew to John was how he obtained eternal life. And it says that not just partake of eternal life, partake of his suffering. So every day he was suffering. The epistle told us that the first suffering was to be a man. The first suffering was to come first, be a man, die the death of man, then die the death of cross. So every time he woke up in the book of Matthew to John, every time Jesus woke up and he went to lay his head, every day he was teaching us how to live. And then we must decode that. We must check it. How did Jesus live? How did he live? The apostles came to show us how he lived. That's why you can never be the kingdom apostle. The apostles of the Lamb were those that were with him in the flesh. Do you understand that? Did you hear that? Which in the book of Revelation, the Bible told us about the kingdom is dressed with 12 foundations of the apostles. Are you together with me? And that apostles, what qualifies you is that you must be with him when he was alive. So if that is a criteria, then we must know that the things he did when he was alive is deep. That you cannot be part of the 12 apostles of the Lamb until except you are with him in the flesh. So we must know how we lived in the flesh. If we remove that from our theology, we have garbage. Therefore, of these men have accompanied us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must be a witness with us of his resurrection. You must be there from the baptism of John, which is another teaching. Another teaching. From the baptism of John till you must see him when he resurrected, you are not qualified to be part of the 12. Hallelujah. Let's bring this to a close. Give me Romans. Reason to have a beer. Nikwe kubali rin. You were born again to walk. Amen. You were what? To walk. To walk. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Then he must be born of water and spirit so that he can what? He can walk. Let's rush. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So, there is a nexus between suffering and glory. That as we walk the way he would have us walk, what is happening in us? Glory is being formed in us. Are you together with me? Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Wait there. If your salvation experience has brought you to sonship, why is the earth waiting? So even though you are born again, there's still something the earth is waiting for. If your salvation experience is everything, there's no need for waiting. Are you together with me? So this glory, you can see that the verses are connected. There is a connection between glory and sonship. The Bible says the captain of our salvation went through all these sufferings. Why? So that he can bring many sons into glory. Are we on the same page? This is not a deep teaching. I will bring it down. I'll give you three things that you go home with. And I'll say the three at once. I'm not explaining the three. It's not a deep teaching. Because that's something about God. The end will be big. The process can be despised. So that we will not come into it by flesh. So every time God does something, the process is always something you will despise. The end is big. The process is something you will despise. Who would have thought Jesus is the... No. How? If Jesus is going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, he should not exit the earth that way. But he had two exits. The first exit, the world saw him on the cross. The second exit, his disciples saw him lifted up. Not everybody saw him lifted up. Are you together with him? When everybody will see him lifted up, when everybody sees him in the cloud, it's for judgment. And that's a mystery. That's a mystery. That there are things you are seeing right now that the world is not seeing. There are realities you are seeing right now that the world is despising. And he does not show it to... See, there are things he will not show to the world. There are experiences you are having that your lecturer will never talk about. When the motivational speakers of this world are talking about success in the earth, they will not mention what the Holy Ghost told you. When the wisest men in this world are talking about what makes a man, they will never told you what you got in your devotion. Because they don't know. Jesus does not reveal himself to the outward people. He reveals himself to those to the world through the manifestation of the sons. It is the word revealed in you. It does not go to the, it does not speak to the world, it speaks to us. I said it speaks to us. It does not speak to the world, it speaks to us. But what he does in us will be a judgment to the world. Are we on the same page? For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and in whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. How? Through sufferings. Give me the one in Peter. About how we should suffer with him. Please give me 12 minutes, please. Let's finish this. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. You know, every day the enemy wants you to forget this. He wants you to forget your hope. Every day he's battling you to forget your hope. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold and that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Looking at that place in Peter that speaks about how we should suffer with him. 4:14. Give me 4:14. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Whose sufferings? Christ. Don't forget this. It's not the world's suffering. It's not poverty. It's not sickness. It's not timidity. It's not depression. Those ones are not suffering. Those ones are Satan's harassment. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory. Now, this one is different. It comes to mantra. Now, this one is not gift of the spirit. Are you together with me? This one is different. Now, all of us, let's pursue. I try to pursue it. I'm trying my best. I pursue the gift of the spirit. But there is a different one. There is a different one. May my generation know that one. There is a different one. The spirit of glory. This one is the spirit of God that has to do with the nature of God. This one is God's character. This is not external. This one is in the holiest of all. The spirit of glory and God and of God. This spirit is of God. This one is God's spirit. It's the spirit of glory. He says that if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you for the spirit of glory. And this spirit of glory is the spirit of God. So the spirit of glory is the spirit of God is the administrator of God's glory. Hallelujah. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But this one has an if. Are you together with me? This one has an if. The manifestation of this one is different from the Holy Ghost upon you as a gift for doing ministry. This one is different. Because that one does not have an if. If you are born again, you can receive the Holy Ghost. But this one is if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you for. The spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Let me say this. Not every minister of God functions in this place. Amen. Because there is a lifestyle that brings this level. I don't know if you are together with me. There is a lifestyle that brings this level of engagement with God. See, God has many things. In my father's house, there are many mansions. That's what Jesus said. Anyone, you can play there. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. His own plan is one place. But in that house, there are many places. So that where I am, you might be also. But there are many places. But what I want is that where I am, you might be. Are we on the same page? If you are reproved for the name of Christ, blessed are you. This one is not greeting, no. It's impartation. Eh? I said, eh? Blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he is glorified. There is a way when Jesus is revealed, he looks his foolishness to the people of this world. But to you is everything. Anytime you want to follow him, you look foolish. You look foolish. But glory is happening inside you. How many people want the glory of God? That's how we can represent him. You see, the anointing is not all the way we can represent him. Glory is all the representation we can give him. Arabashia talabaya karabasa. Oh man, one glory here. Oh, need artificial conquer. You go finish your ministry. Oh, coffee relates well alone. Alone, yeah. It was alone in sorrow. When you go, oh, if you preach, if you genuine. Ninu joba alone. You want one kai man want to want ninu joba. Which one want to want tau? Which one want to want tau? You are in the kingdom. David saw a bit of this. He said, I want to be a doorkeeper. I know one day outside. If that same guy just did that door. Okay. Oh, if you preach, if you prophesy. But normal behavior, prophecy are yin. Oh, prophesy, who sokwe does hear the Lord. Oh, come behave. Oh, then prophesy. You get it? No, you don't say does hear the Lord. You just de behave and now prophesy. Now prophecy. You understand? Because you don't have any other place to behave from. The only place you have is the place of God. Because I told you, you can't come here until self is defeated. Let's round up with Luke 8. To show you that place. Luke 8. Are we on the same page? See, this preaching I'm preaching to you, after you are giving your life to Christ, this preaching is another message. When you give your life to Christ, after the while, you hear this message. God himself will preach it to you. You now tell yourself whether you want to enter. When the Bible, I want to narrow his gate. It's not the born again gate. I want gate to lori be ye. When the script, whenever the Bible is hard, are you with me? These are the messages preached, not the first conversion message. He said, not everybody that say Lord, Lord. We don't enter heaven. I'm the Jew. Oh, it's the second for the healing ministry. Oh, say kilo share. Ang paro won't be bad. Ang paro patience. You need patience. Oh, God, you need patience. You are not in heaven. Mommy, see that guy with. Mommy, heal him now, mommy. Malo. I do not know you. You are a worker of iniquity. Your soul, your mind, everything, it did not change. Ororoko wa lori eni, bo ile aye o better, ile aye buruku lo gbe. O kon fo ro se nkan ni, were ni e were. No, I'm serious. Were ni e. Your soul did not change. No improvement. You are a madman. God. I wish I had two projectors. Give me that worker of iniquity. I can just put it side by side. What would they look the Bible? What would they see what it is? Maybe God, where did you want preacher? Maybe not. I'm telling you, what preacher? We don't know God doesn't make shit. Call me shit. Your party moon saw going manifestation on the spirit. Then go, yeah. We concern here. What for me? Shit, conquise. Oh, serious God. My soul did not want to obey him. For close to 2 years, I was in disobedience. One day I eventually obeyed God. And the day I obeyed him, the Spirit of God came upon me and the Lord rested upon me. This is a real experience. He rested upon me and I knew there was an approval upon me. And God told me, you can begin to preach messages like this. Yes. Not everybody can preach it. They know it. They see it from afar. They can't preach it. They did not enter. And the entrance, na day-to-day entrance. Yes. I'm telling you the truth. That as you obey God, that's suffering. Suffering is to go contrary to your will. That's what suffering is. So when we say suffering of Christ, is to go contrary to your will. Is to go, not to wish to go, not to desire to go. Not that you wish to go contrary to your will. You go. By the grace of God, by the surrender you do, you go contrary to your will for his name's sake. That is the suffering of Christ. Because he too had his will. Do you know that? His will was the stature of the first Adam. Jesus of Nazareth is a will. Are you together with me? He let go of that will in Gethsemane. He first let go in communion. From communion, he went to Gethsemane. I told you that in the communion table was a practical table. Immediately he shed, he gave his life. He said, this is my flesh. This is my blood. It actually happened. A spiritual transaction happened. By the time he left the communion table, the Bible says sorrow gripped his soul. That's the first time such expressions were used for him. He ran to go and pray. By the time he went to go and pray, because he really did that, he had already surrendered himself. Listen, the passion of the Christ is not what happened to Jesus. That story is not the story. You know how they beat him for one thing. They have beat many people because of girls. Some people chop the cane for girl. Yes. People have died. Say, who can die for you? People have died for people. Let's not. We ask questions that we don't try to get the answer. People have died for people. Boys have died for girls. Romeo and Juliet, you know a story. They say, who can? You see what they went through. They beat him, they put his flesh. That's not the ghetto. It's more than that. It's part of it, but it's more than that too. It was that eternal separation. First of all, he had to drop that wheel. Do you know who Jesus was? Do you know who Jesus was? I mean, in the flesh. They wanted to kill him. He walked into the midst of the people. Powers. This is man that walked on water. Jesus could do everything the first Adam did in his days. Yes. He walked on water. People wanted to catch him. He did not hide. He was at the cliff of the mountain. A mob was about to make him fall down. And he passed through their midst. Like entered body to body. Entering body to body. And then he was to drop that. And he said, God. Ah. He said, can we do this another way? He said, not my will, but your will. See, that thing that he did that made him gain life. He did not just gain life, for you are going to come and do it. By his life, you will do it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name I've cast out devils. In thy name I've done many wonderful works. And then he will profess unto them, I never knew you. How can Jesus say to someone that is born again, I never knew you? You see, not just that I stopped knowing you. Not that we knew before, I never knew you. Because this discussion here is a kingdom discussion. Are you on the same page with me? That you never made that decision to die. You saw it, but you never. It is when you decide to die, that is when I can begin to have fellowship with you. You know, John wrote his letter. He said, I'm writing this letter so that you can come and have fellowship with us. So there's a fellowship John was having that those people were not having. Were they having fellowship? Yes, but not like John's fellowship. Are you on the same page with me? I'm saying there is more. Good more. Wonderful more. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. That is to say, what's iniquity? Iniquity is a way contrary to God's way. It says you live contrary to God's way. All right, give me 24. You now see what I'm saying. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which build his house upon a rock. Go back to Luke. Let me round off. So a sower went to sow seed. The sun fell on the side. It was thrown down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So we see that the fowls of the air, there in Matthew, it says they did not understand the word. In the interpretation of this parable. And I told you what that meant. Why did not, when it says they did not understand, it means they did not agree with the world. Why? Because they decided to agree with the present day philosophy. That is why you will notice here that the fowls of the air were the ones that came to pick. What are the fowls of the air? That is the philosophies that govern the human race. Normal thinking. Whenever the word of the kingdom comes, are you together with me? It brings a philosophy different from normal human philosophy. Are you together with me? So one of the climax of the days of the Antichrist, which we are in, is that humanity will be governed by human philosophy. And human philosophy is humanism. Are you together with me? Of course, the strength of humanism will be the extreme of human right. When you take human right and stretch it, the other side of it, the other side of human right are philosophies of these beds of the air. I don't know if you guys are going to start talking about. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible speaks about those that live according to the prince of the air, the power of the air, which is the spirit that works in the sons of children of disobedience. These are human philosophies, humanistic ideas, intellectualism. Praise God. So if we are going to be battling that in our days, we must connect the glory of God. I don't know if you are talking together with me. Because what we can use to change the people of our own generation, what we will use to save them is the love of God and the glory of God, which is the same thing though. I'm telling you the truth. It will not be argument for argument. It will be presence for presence. We must bring a superior presence that is more than the presence that is affecting their mindset. I don't know if you are hearing this. It should be lifestyle for lifestyle. They're getting tired. Let me round off quickly. Please don't lose me. Don't lose me. I just want to show you something in Luke 8, then show you another thing in Galatians 5. The next one. Verse 14. So, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard the word, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. So I explained that on Sunday. We're just talking about the release of the Spirit, release of God's kingdom, release of God's glory. So these ones went forth. I told you that these hearts are progressive. At this level, the kingdom word is producing. It can deal with pressures, it can bring riches, it can bring pleasures. Amen. But you see, the danger here is that if you stay here, you'll be choked. When your expression of Christianity, when you use the word for what the word can give you. Now, do you know the word can give us things in this earth? It's part of the package. But you know, the word has what it should give us that is in the word itself. You know, the word itself is an inheritance. By the word, you can get a good wife. You can get a good husband. You can get a house. But aside from the things of this earth that the word can give us, the word itself, without anything earthly attached to it, are things for us. There are things in the word itself for us. That if you focus on only what the word can give you, you have a tendency to be what? To be choked. Then it will no more be kingdom word. That is why it will not bring fruits that will lead towards perfection. Do you understand that? So, when you're talking about faith, are you together with me? Make sure you are not choked on the faith for only things. Do you understand that? That level of faith is good. We must operate it. It must just be what we use. But it must not be where we dwell. It must be a weapon with which we live our lives every day. But not a doctrine. Not a body of life that we die in. So the scripture is not for quotation to attack problems. When you are sick, one scripture. When you need money, Romans 8:5. When you need this, Romans is more than that. Use it, but it's more than that. That must not be all you understand about the Bible. Scriptures you can quote when there's a problem. That you read it to get weapon for quotation. It's not for quotation. It's more than that. Listen, by the time you understand the whole body of scripture itself, your normal word is enough quotation. When the scripture happens to you, when Satan comes, you telling him go away is enough. You don't have to say, the Revelation 5:5 says, when they come in 10 ways, they can come in 55, they will go in 85 ways. When they come, no. Okay, sit and get out. Because the first expression of the word The original nature of the word is that the word is a person. The decision to code it in letters is to bring us to a personality. So the word is for making, it's not for speaking. So that when we make a man by the word, when the man speaks, is the word speaking. Are you together with me? Now, the delivering yourself from this temptation itself, coming away from it is not easy. Because Satan is the god of this world. And in this place is a very serious place. When you get to this place, we harass you. Because this has to do with this life. And he's the world god of this world. Satan knows how to talk to you when it comes to these things. He will talk to you. He will say, "Mo, they look at now. Mo, they look at now. You be pastor, I can preach. Don't preach anywhere. Do chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Oh, man, dog was see. One dog was see. Chocolate, chocolate. Anywhere, lower, eh? Now, there you go, day. How many years now you don't hear this thing? 3 years. Word of righteousness. 4 years. All right, well, thank God. 4 years. That girl that is married next year, don't forget to, you are school mother. I just said I should remind you. You want spirit brother, be spirit brother. Oh, Allah, no. It will harass you. We use everything. This world is stuff. Anytime you want to break through, and listen, things will appear slow. Everything will appear slow. When the kingdom is being manifested, time shuts down. Whenever you enter kingdom, time will shut down. You see, but what will happen in 3 hours? You know, for Jesus, every day of his life was a build up to the cross. And by the time he was on the cross, in 3 days, everything was finished. You know, on that cross, it is finished. So the miracle is already happening. Yeah. It will not let you know because everything will be slow. Things will shut down. But listen, God does not need 20 minutes to change your natural circumstance. And he will. I noticed that he always makes sure that all these things are added. But he will drag your soul to a point where they are truly addition. If your soul still sees them as the substance, the journey continues. Because the fulfillment of that scripture is that they shall be added. If your mindset has not seen them as addition, even though you are lying to him, but that your soul has not seen them, because that thing comes when they are additions. That's God's definition of them. So it comes in directions to people that see them as additions. So if your soul is not prepared to receive it as an addition, you are not ready for him. So he will keep dragging that soul. And it does not work with time. See, I'm teaching you, this is a very beautiful teaching. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful teaching. It will drag it. Brothers and sisters, in this journey, there will be many failures. That's not the issue. Just be on the journey. You will fail many times. Don't stress yourself about failure. This is not an issue of trying to be a good person or a bad person. Don't forget about that one. Just be on the journey. It will drag you until he will strip the soul. The shame you feel in the absence of the things of this world is not actually shame itself. Your soul interpreted it as shame because of the presence of imperfection. It's not shame. It's not shame. It's the imperfection of your soul that interpreting it as shame. And more will come. It will drag you. It will drag you finish. Until you see him. When you see him, then you will not come. The heart has been purified. You know, the third heart is a honest and sincere heart. That means a heart that has nothing attached to it. A heart detached of things. Ambition. He has been detached. Then he will give it. God measures, there are sovereign moves of God, but God measures the administration of even natural things based on the conditions of the soul. Now, there are sovereign moves of God, I don't deny that. But when you are talking about somebody in the kingdom journey, he will measure it based on the condition of the soul, because he wishes above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. So the soul becomes the gauge for measuring your prosperity. This is beautiful, isn't it? God loves you. I say God loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than he loves you to have things. It's about you. So he's protecting you and he's guiding you and he's training you and messing you up. You are more concerned about what you'll be in future as per external. He's more concerned about the condition of your heart. Breaking you and changing you and causing you to do, see stuff. You repenting and him visiting you. 3 months after you find out anger has dropped, pride has dropped, envy has dropped, things are dropping. Then you break into the realities of joy, which is the fruit of the kingdom. Laughter for no reason. Confidence without money. Then you begin to notice those realities. Joy. You just be happy. Then if you are someone that, if you have a family, maybe you're married, your husband and both of you will notice. Like, be like, say, by the time kingdom word first starts, you know, like, say, anytime we're not happy for this house, now because I don't get money, the wife will repent. She say, it's true, this is my nagging thing, a lack of money. I say, let's trust God. After a while, you guys would not, you will not feel the grace, but you have the knowledge. You trust God for grace and fake the happiness. Yeah, you faith the happiness. This is the reason for the teaching of your, the first teaching of faith. You are meant to use it to faith kingdom. You faith joy. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for life. Dance fake dance. Shout fake dance. Shout fake shout. Drink garri together in the same, with the same, serve it well with the same. Are you, I'm speaking in this manner because these are some of the things we can relate with. Wherever face, listen, even if you are Dangote's son, there is suffering of Christ. There is suffering of Christ. It's not, wealth will not deliver you from suffering of Christ. These are patterns, pathways. God can give Dangote's son one friend that is very poor. And Dangote's son will be going to go and visit him. And Dangote's son want to bring the Bible study to his house. The Holy Ghost will say, why? Why can't you do Bible study in Ajegunle? Go and do Bible study in Ajegunle. What's wrong with you? Go there. And the boy will say, I want to come to us. Dangote said, no, don't come. Say, let me say, no, don't come. You didn't know what he heard. Are you together with me? He has the package for us. Let's round off. The fifth time. But this is the last scripture, Galatians 5. Let's start from 1. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I can't hear a reason. Are you with me?
Yeah.
My guys, are you with me?
Yeah.
I should know. Now, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, this is a letter Paul writes to the Galatian church that was about to be choked by legalism. Some Jewish pastor, so to speak, came and was about to spoil them. And so he was trying to deal with that, deal with the issue of legalism, circumcision. They wanted to go back to circumcising themselves and all of that. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. That's a bit. You want to do circumcision. After circumcision, you will observe all the commandments of the law. Alright? Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. So they were going back to the law of Moses. Are you together with me? You are falling from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So you mean that Christianity, there is hope in Christianity. Yes. that when you got born again, there are things you are still hoping for. Are you together with me? For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availed anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? By love. Ye did wrong well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh, give us new KJV. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Let's do new KJV. It's always embarrassing when somebody is worshiping God and they let us present him. It's not always nice. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the old lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You have been called to what?
Liberty.
But what? Only do not use liberty. So can you see that it is irresponsible for me as a preacher to preach about the liberty in Christ and not to warn you? Are you together with me? I can't say if I warn you, that means I'm injuring the preaching of liberty. No. You will see Paul preaching liberty, and what does he still do? Warn. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for what? For the flesh. But true love serve one another. You see, when God opens your eyes, I want everybody to listen. When God opens your eyes, you begin to see some salient things in scriptures. Now, one of the ways you will not walk in the flesh is to change your mindset and have a mindset of service. That thing, serve one another, as simple as it is a major code of that scripture. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but true love, serve one another. That is to say, have an atmosphere where I prefer my brother to myself. And I see myself as one that should serve you. Do you understand that? Why? Because the issue of taking liberty to the extreme and pride are connected. Because when you take liberty to the extreme, it's because the word of righteousness has rested upon the pride of your flesh. It's a pride in the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? When you hear some people preaching liberty with excitement, it's not the joy of the spirit, it's the pride of the flesh. So Paul is teaching us that one of the things that will help you not to fall into that error is that as you receive liberty, don't see yourself as a revelationist. Let Christians, because you see, this preaching of liberty is exciting. Check all the churches that missed it. It's true excitement. What? You know what Mama do? You know what Mama do? No more God, Jesus is cursed. Corinthian church, yes. When they prophesied, they said Jesus is cursed. Now, some people are now very happy. They have said all the things Jesus said is not important. It's, you just be excited. Ooh, hallelujah! God, God. By the time, as you do that, you don't know what you will say. You say, cow, cow. I heard one preacher say, ooh, and when Paul spoke, he corrected James. James did not understand what he was saying. You know what I'm saying? Are you together with me? You'll be excited. Exuberance. But can we see ourselves as servants? Whatever you know, you are just a servant. You are not better than anybody. But through love, serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are codes that is not in screaming, it's not in shouting, it's in what? It's in love. That even in the law, how we are going to judge somebody walking in the law is by how much he loves his neighbor. Let's read. But if you bite and devour one another, can you see what we're talking about? What is he trying to explain? He's trying to explain how not to use liberty. To take liberty to the extreme. And see the things he's mentioning. Serving. What did he mention again? If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The next thing you will notice when you begin to enter into extreme is what? Is biting. I don't know if you are hearing me. Call of one wisdom. I say then, walk in the spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lost against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Go to the last verse. Let me go. Let's go. Give me another version for this. We must not. Now, it was still talking about the flesh and the spirit. And while we'll look at it on Sunday, but I just want us to go home. And rounding it off, he said we must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. One of the things that will help you to walk in the spirit is that deal with pride and deal with jealousy. Don't try to be better than people. And don't be envious of people. If you can deal with these two things, you'll find yourself walking in the spirit. The flesh, the summary of the flesh will always be self, which is pride, self, and envy. Are you together with me? When you talk of ambition and all those works of the flesh, they are under two headings. Flesh and envy. Walking in the spirit is under one ending, love. And two things are key in love. Deal with pride and deal with envy. In your life every day, try and deal. Don't compare. Don't let another person's success engender, put you under pressure. Make sure your prayers really originated from you. Let your prayers not originate from another man's success. And don't try to be spectacular. Be yourself. Those are two keys. Everything I'm preaching, everything I share, if you want to walk in them, deal with pride and deal with envy. Just deal with pride. Don't try to be yourself. Be yourself. Wherever God has put you, be glad. Stay in joy where you are. Don't envy another man. In fact, appreciate whatever God has done for any man. Can we begin to bless the name of the Lord? Father, we give you the praise. Exalt you.